The 4Ps Project is supported by the Sovereign Network Group, funding the Move On and Thrive Project. To find out more, go to sng.org.uk.
Hi, I'm Georgiana, and we've just survived our third heatwave in a single summer, with a possible fourth looming ahead of us, and I think we need to talk about it. I'll be honest with you, I really don't like thinking about how hot it's getting. It scares me. It feels very uncontrollable, and it's hard to wrap my mind around the idea that we pay for the costs for these heatwaves, extreme weather, and general climate disaster, while other people profit from it. But we have to talk about it. We have to face it. This isn't going to disappear if we look the other way. In May and June alone, we had around 2,700 excess deaths in England and Wales tied to the extreme heat. That isn't normal. It's easier to deny the effects of climate change when it's happening far away. I think we have a tendency to think, but not us, when it comes to climate disaster. We've been very lucky in the sense that for a while we've only had to watch this destruction through our screens. But now it's happening around us. We're now seeing pictures and videos from places where we never expected it to happen. Wildfires in Canada, Spain, France, and even here in the UK. Even on the island in West Wight most recently. We're feeling the heat. We're hearing about deaths in the news. And just a step outside our door brings us face to face with reality. We can't keep denying it. I want to make a quick disclaimer that I'm not a scientist or a climate expert, but I don't think you have to be either to notice reality or to learn about it. I went to a meeting in June about the heatwaves, and it gave me a lot to think about, alongside a huge realization on the importance of actually talking about this stuff. It made it feel a little bit less scary. My aim for this podcast is to leave you with some food for thought and a clearer picture of what we're facing as a planet right now. Whatever your beliefs are, I think it's better to form them from a place of understanding. So I want to start by getting us up to speed on some climate terms. Climate change happens naturally, but it's supposed to happen gradually over many thousands of years, like tens of thousands or even more. What we're living through isn't a natural climate change, but the product of humans. It's man-made destruction. It's happening too fast for any living being to evolve and adjust to it. We can thank the Victorians and the Industrial Revolution for setting this in motion. One of their many, many crimes against humanity. Did you know they ate mummies? I don't want that on my local pub menu, personally. You've probably heard of greenhouse emissions and fossil fuels before. And if you know what those are, you're way smarter than I was before I attended that meeting. I want us all to be on the same page, though, before I use them again later on. Fossil fuels are non-renewable energy sources, such as oil and gas, that have to be extracted from the earth. This is how we get electricity, petrol, and how most of us heat our houses. Non-renewable means that we use them up faster than they can be remade by the earth, as opposed to, say, solar power, which is remade every day the sun keeps on shining. Greenhouse gases are atmospheric gases, which sounds very spooky, but it's basically carbon dioxide, and they trap heat around the earth, creating something like a heat bubble. Kind of like when we wear thermal tops in the winter. They actually help make the Earth a livable planet, but humans are creating too many of them by burning fossil fuels and destroying ecosystems like forests, which, of course, absorb carbon dioxide and create oxygen in return. I hated science class, so we're going to segue back into talking about how this affects all of us again now. The UK in particular is built for a climate that just doesn't exist anymore, and the sad truth is that we can't reverse the damage that has already been done. We need to make short-term and long-term adjustments. Ideally, we should be working on mitigation, which means preventing further disaster, but because the effects of these heatwaves are so immediate, we also need to adapt very quickly. The shame about that is that corporations profit from this need for quick relief. Think about AC units. Cheap AC units that fly off the shelves every time we have a heat wave, then break by the following summers and need to be repurchased. There's a real financial incentive to continued climate breakdown, and that's just one example of average people paying the price of it, because the big wigs at the top of these companies can afford AC units that actually last. There's a lot of money to be made out of human suffering, which is a grim sentence, but it's nothing new. We live in a world that follows the money, and I'm worried mitigation won't happen unless there is a financial incentive bigger than the one for continued climate breakdown and cheap short-term solutions. One of the reasons we haven't made any progress in preventing climate change is largely because it is profitable. I'm going to try and give you some examples without boring you, but for example, the fact that many of the companies responsible for a large share of greenhouse emissions are allowed to lobby for support at conferences where governments are supposed to be discussing solutions. Thousands of fossil fuel lobbyists attended the recent COP conferences. Another way they ensure profit continues is by greenwashing, which is pretending to be more eco-friendly while not making any actual meaningful changes. Fossil fuel companies do this by advertising that they're investing in renewables, while most of their profit still comes from oil and gas. Pun intended, they're gaslighting us. Other companies greenwash too. Fast fashion companies market sustainable collections while still underpaying factory workers who churn out low-quality garments that don't last. And McDonald's in 2019, when they introduced paper straws that weren't even recyclable. Also, it has to be said that average working people aren't the biggest contributors to carbon pollution. Those in the top 0.1% produce more carbon pollution in a day than someone in the bottom 50% produces all year, according to Oxfam. Apparently, if everyone emitted carbon like the richest of the rich, then climate disaster would be achieved in less than 3 weeks. To stay within the limits of the 1.5 degrees Celsius threshold, the richest would need to cut their usage by 99% by 2030. That's less than 4 years away. Now imagine if we all used private jets to go grab some coffee, like certain billionaire pop stars, or if we all created rocket ships that explode mid-air as a hobby, or believed that robots taking over the world would be a gift to humanity. That is a real belief held by some tech CEOs, by the way. The disaster we're now facing isn't unprecedented. Scientists have been warning us and our governments about it for decades. Oil and gas billionaires have long been aware of the consequences of extracting natural resources from the earth. I think we should all be angry about the fact that the people who are supposed to be making decisions that make our lives easier have consistently made decisions that have now led to this. I think we all deserve a livable planet. One that is livable for humans, animals, and plant life alike. Individuals, well, there's a lot we can and should do to, you know, carry our own weight in our fight for a livable planet, are not to blame on our own. We need to shift our priorities as a society, and we need sustainable changes to infrastructure. It's important that we adapt, and adapting to climate change should not be reserved to those who can afford it. It should be accessible to everyone. We need free cool spaces for the elderly and the vulnerable. We should also rethink how the unbearable heat affects kids at school, what their uniforms are made out of, how their timetables look, and how sudden school closures affect working parents without access to daycare. The way we work just isn't sustainable if this heat and weather continues either, which it will. The fact that labourers have still been working outside in 30-degree heat is an outrage. If we keep prioritising profit over people, then we won't get anywhere. People need to be able to adapt their lives to this new climate. Furthermore, We need better systems in place for things like droughts or potential food shortages. And clothing made of natural fibers should be more accessible and affordable. But they can only be both of those things if we crack down on fast fashion and consumerism from the top, not the bottom. And speaking of being prepared, thinking locally, I'm worried about whether our emergency services are equipped for more wildfires. And what happens if droughts continue to become more common? What happens if transport is disrupted or there's a food shortage due to crop failure? Are we prepared for this? Are we able to self-sustain? And I'm sure we're all aware that our houses in this country are built to keep the warmth in. That makes these latest summers unbearable. We need to be insulating houses properly, looking to provide affordable adjustments like AC systems for a short-term solution. And also solar panels being widely available and affordable could make things more bearable just by taking pressure off of us from the cost of living. With Andy Burnham now as Prime Minister, there's also a new risk that he could approve the Rosebank oil field. It's unnecessary. Experts have already said we have enough oil and gas fields in production to meet our energy requirements. And approving this field would be harmful to an already deteriorating climate in the UK. Plus, that oil wouldn't even go to British people. We do not need more oil or more gas. We need to fix the country we currently have. There's a lot of hope to still be had about the future. And as much as it feels that way, we are not powerless. As the climate continues to change, we are going to have to shift away from individualism and towards collectivity, which means working together and supporting each other as we adapt to the world we now live in and the risks that come with it. I think that as such a community-focused island, we have a real opportunity to explore and demonstrate what that collective aid and thinking could look like in practice going forward. But for now, drink a lot of water, keep sun-facing windows and doors covered and closed, wear loose-fitting clothing made with natural fibres if you can, wear sun cream, eat enough food, sleep, invest in a parasol, and don't be too bothered if people think you look like a vampire. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Stay cool.